If you imagine you were in Jerusalem at this time, what might you have been doing on this day? You had come down to Jerusalem as a follower of Jesus, but you knew that the leaders in Jerusalem, they hated him. And then after just a few days, they arrested him. And over the night, they tried him, they found him guilty, they condemned him. And the very next day, he was taken to die. Just a few days after you've come out. And all of the other disciples have run away, they've fled because of fear. They think they're going to be next. And now Jesus has been buried in a grave, and it seems he's gone. The Jewish Sabbath day comes, and then it goes, and a new week begins. And what would you be found doing? Well, we're following these women who we keep finding in the passages these weeks. And we find them first approaching the tomb. The day of rest had ended, and they came to the tomb of Jesus, it says, verse 1, to anoint his body. This is Mary Magdalene, the one who Jesus had cast out 7 demons from. Mary, the mother of James. And Salome, who was wife of a servant in the household of Herod. We're told that half the women in that part of the world at those times were either called Mary or Salome. One in every 2 women had those names. So we have to be told a bit more about them. But here they are. And they're still following Jesus. And they're still wanting to do something more for him. He'd already been buried, and the other Gospels tell us that he'd already been anointed. There had already been some spices put on his body. But they wanted to do something more still for him. Their love and their faith towards him kept them near him, and they wanted to find just something more that they could do for him. And is that the spirit that you have in your heart? Whatever's been done for the Lord Jesus, you have in your heart. Is there something more I can do for him? Is there some way I can serve him more? Is that the thought you have inside you also? Now, their focus on the Lord Jesus and their faith towards him and their courage, because remember, it was dangerous to be a follower of Jesus, led them to go and to find his tomb again. And even they hadn't thought of the obstacle that was there until they were walking on the way. Verse 3, who will roll the stone away? Seems the stone were rolled down a slope. Would be very heavy and now would cover the entrance of the cave. And who would be rolling it back up again? Verse 4 tells us it was very large. But they weren't put off by this. They still went on their way. And they hoped they would find some solution to the problem. How many people call themselves Christians, but they just sit at home and say, well, if I do something for the Lord, I can see the problems that are going to come. And see there's going to be challenges and difficulties, and probably it just won't work out. So let me do nothing. Is that the thought you have in your heart? That faith must overcome those doubts and that voice of unbelief. Faith moves mountains. And these women's faith, it brought them to the tomb when there's no one else to be found there. First thing, first light on the Sunday morning. But the disciples aren't there, they're gone. But the women are found there. And it's because they still had the faith that they had the great blessing. They were the ones then who saw the angel. And even Mary Magdalene, we learn, was the first to see the Lord Jesus Christ alive from the dead. Because they were there, still following him, they got the blessing. There's no blessings without faith. If you lose heart and if you stop and if you fall down along the way, you don't get the blessing. It's God's way. It is unto you according to your faith. Those who believe have the revelations of God and his power and his mercy. and he blesses their work. Do you have faith? Does it cost something for these women to keep following? And there's not just the shame being a follower of the crucified and defeated, so it seemed, Nazarene. It cost them something as they took these spices to anoint his body. Their devotion cost them something. What does your faith cost you? What do you give? Not just talking about money, but effort and time. You have to give up something else you could do instead to follow Jesus. This was their faith. And this is why they got the blessing. Because they had strong faith which overcame and which gave and gave all that they could to serve him. And yet, there was something missing in their faith, wasn't there? Quite a lot, really. Quite a big thing. They're discussing who's going to roll the stone away, how are we going to get into the tomb. But why should they ask a question like that? In one of the other Gospels, when they got there and found the angels, tells us one of the angels asked a question. The angel said, "Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" Or in verse 7, the message to the disciples is that you'll see him alive in Galilee like he told you. And the angel reminds them, we're told again in another one of the Gospels, that he's risen from the dead just as he said he would be. There's something missing in their faith. They've come to the tomb to anoint a dead body, and yet Jesus had always been teaching them, "I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles and put to death, and on the third day I will rise again." Why are they bringing something to preserve his body on the day that he had told them he would rise again? Our God thankfully blesses faith. But it's not just perfect faith which he blesses. Not just if your faith never fails, stumbles, falls down, is never weak. No, he blesses the faith which is placed in Jesus. Faith which looks only to Jesus for salvation. But we'll never find in this life the faith which looks to Jesus perfectly. But don't think that God is throwing you away because he finds your faith is not perfect. And he sees the doubts and the fears and the weakness and the mistakes you made, and then he throws you away. No, he doesn't. These women were the ones who were there, and they got the blessing despite what they didn't understand. But the Bible says that we should add to our faith knowledge. Peter wrote that in one of his letters. Peter, who wasn't here, we get his name in verse 7. But later he wrote and said, "Add to your faith knowledge." And at another time, well, later in the same letter, he said, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord." It's good to trust Jesus. But we'll get so much more comfort, we'll get so much more strength and joy if our faith is with understanding. If the Word of God has entered our minds, and if we know what to expect, and if we know the ways that God can test us, and if we know the challenges that can come, and that God has given us instructions for those challenges, and that we can overcome them if we keep trusting him. When I was in Nairobi earlier in the year, there was a document I needed, and I was in this block of offices, and they said, "Oh, go to this room." And I went to this room, and they said, "Ah, you want room number such and such." And I went to room number such and such. I said, "Oh, go to the reception and you'll find it there." And I went around and around, and eventually I found it actually wasn't that building at all, and I needed to go and look for the document in a different set of offices, which were in a different part of Nairobi. See, I was trying very hard to get the document I needed, but I was just going around the wrong rooms completely. But when they gave me the knowledge of where I should be, then I started to make some progress. So here are the women approaching the tomb in their faith and love. Not perfect, but we need to add to our faith and to grow. Then we'll have so much more comfort, stability and strength as Christians.
If we look at verses 4, 5 and 6, then we can see them now entering the tomb. Firstly approaching it, but now entering it. And they come, the stone is rolled away. They enter. Mark talks about a young man dressed in a white robe.
The other Gospels explain for us that this, yes, was an angel.
They're very afraid. What would you think?
You enter the tomb of Jesus. There's this shining bright being in a white robe.
But the angel says, verse 6, don't be alarmed.
Don't be afraid. Do you know what the command is in the Bible? And more than any other command,
it's this one. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. You are looking for Jesus from Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here.
Here's the first preaching of the gospel. The angel tells these women the good news, and they are the very first to hear the gospel preached, that Jesus, the Saviour, is alive, has defeated death. Here is our good news. Jesus was truly dead.
There was a place where he lay. See the place where they laid him, verse 6. But now he is not here. He is risen.
Jesus was truly dead, physically and literally he died. And now also
he has risen in the same way.
He lives bodily. The tomb is empty.
There was no dead Jesus to be found there or anywhere.
It's not just that Jesus lives through the teaching of his disciples, that his ideas, his thoughts, his goals are still alive today. It's not that we say, Jesus lives because he's in my heart and I have Jesus with me in my heart. It's Jesus lives because he's not dead. He left the tomb. He didn't need to be there anymore. There was no purpose in him remaining lying there. And bodily and gloriously, he rose up. He was seen by the disciples for 40 days. He went up into heaven. And there, in his body, he reigns from the throne room of the universe. Where's your faith? When you face the problem, are you remembering this? Jesus is not dead. Jesus has not fallen down again out of heaven and died and had to be put in some other tomb. He can't. Because he now has the endless, glorified life. The new creation has begun. The resurrection of those who will never die has begun. Has begun with Jesus. And it will continue with us. And whatever comes to you, the gospel tells you that Jesus is not dead. And this Jesus has sent his spirit to you as a guarantee that you also will not die. But even if your body goes to the grave, he'll lift you up again. And so we can never be defeated. It is the day of final victory. Then the gospel tells us that death itself is defeated. And so Jesus is Lord of all. What the people fear. As things go wrong in life, maybe people get poor, people get sick, people get old, and the final defeat is death. But Jesus has defeated the final enemy. And so he's Lord of everything. There's no power which is higher than the power of Jesus. Nothing which he has not put under his feet, or is not bringing now under his feet. Go and find kings, go and find parliaments, go and find presidents. Ask them, have you defeated death? Have you defeated our enemies? And they'll have to say, no, we're still trying to deal with the much smaller problems than that one. We're still trying on much smaller things. But Jesus is the Lord of all. He has been raised up and he's gone on the great victory parade into heaven. Jesus is Lord, Lord of all. Are we bowing the knee to him, obeying him as our Lord? And the message of the resurrection is that Jesus is the Saviour. He died for sins, He died under the curse of God's law, God's judgment and anger. And then he rose because the price was paid. The law required nothing more. God required no further payment. Death could not keep him. And so he rose. His name is Jesus, which means Saviour. And having presented the offering in the holiest place of all, in the very presence of God, he came forth again victorious and is able now to give us, to give you the gift of life. We come to him only by faith. Have you come to him? Do you keep coming to him to receive again life, strength, grace? Jesus is the Saviour. Nobody else has done battle with death and come back victorious, but Jesus has, and we only need him. So let's think now of these women leaving the tomb. Let's think of verses 7 and 8. They are approached, they've entered, they've heard the gospel preached to them, and now they're sent out again. Go! As the gospel, when you've heard it and believed it, the next word is always go. It's the Great Commission, isn't it? Go! We don't just sit here and wait for them to come in, but we go out and bring them. And so the women receive their own commission here. Go! Tell his disciples. Tell Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. Galilee up in the north. That was a poor part of the land. Other times in the New Testament we have people saying things like, can anything good come out of there? Anything good come from Nazareth, which is one of the towns of Galilee? Have you ever heard of a prophet rising out of that place? But now Jerusalem, the great city, has sinned finally against God and rejected the Messiah. And the gospel begins going out from Galilee. That's the place Jesus goes to meet them. And there's actually a message and encouragement there for us. God doesn't choose the high, the mighty, the powerful. God doesn't choose the great people and the great places of this world. But God chooses the weak. God chooses the humble. God chooses the poor. God chooses the low people. And he uses them to build his kingdom. These poor fishermen and other lowly men from Galilee will now take the gospel out from Galilee to the rest of the world. And I'm sure we're all feel the discouragement today that we didn't see people coming to the evangelistic preaching that would have liked them to do. And we start to thinking, well, is it because we're not the great people and we haven't got the power and we haven't got the facilities that will attract the people in? But that's not what God uses. He rejected Jerusalem. He chose Galilee. And that was the place. And the angel said, go there, and there you'll see him, just like he told you. There were no real surprises. Jesus had said he'd rise from the dead. If they'd read their Bibles better, they would have known better what to expect. And the same with us too. There's a gentle rebuke in there. But there's also a great encouragement and comfort for one disciple in particular. For all of them, but for one in particular. One's named, verse 7, Peter. If you remember back to when we were in the earlier chapters, remember Peter, end of chapter 14? He disowned Jesus. When just the servant girl came to him and said, you're with Jesus, aren't you? He didn't say, yes, I love him and I'll even die with him. He said, who are you talking about? I don't know that person. And he called down curses on himself and said, may God so judge me if I know this person you speak of. And he rejected Jesus utterly. If the angel had just said, let the disciples meet him in Galilee, Peter might think, but am I now a disciple? I rejected him and disowned him. And I even cursed myself if I belonged to him. But Jesus named one disciple especially, and he named Peter. That's the tenderness and the gentleness of Jesus, and that's his welcome back to him. That whatever you've done, in whatever way you've departed from him, he'll actually be ready to name you first and say, go and tell that one. Go and tell that one that I want to meet with them again. Go and tell them I want to see them again. And to give them a work again to do in serving me. Peter was restored after he completely denied Jesus. And whatever you've done, wherever you fall down, he lifts you up again. Because he's Jesus. And that's what he does. Well, verse 8, the women went out. Everything had changed. It says they were trembling. They were bewildered. Another translation used the word amazed, or startled, astonished. They fled from that place. It says then they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That must mean they said nothing to anyone else. And they've been told to go to the disciples. And we read in verse 10 that Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples. And we read that in the other Gospels too. What's your response to hearing the gospel of Jesus again? To hear that the one who loved you and died for you is now alive. He's in heaven. He forgives you. He cleanses you. He calls upon you to remember his body and his blood so that you can be forgiven all that is past and go out again to serve him, even from the most surprising places, wherever you find yourself. Whatever the world thinks of that place, whatever the world thinks of your situation, he sends you out again. Hallelujah.